Peterborough prides itself on being the gateway to the Kawarthas, though sometimes the demographic making the most of its pastoral beauty can be a little homogenous. Patricia Wilson is trying to change that. The Peterborough Local is the founder of the Diverse Nature Collective, an organization which hosts nature hikes and outdoor skills workshops for Black and racialized nature lovers. Since the Nature Collective launched more than 5 years ago, it has helped hundreds of people get outside to build confidence and community. This year, the group is expanding their programming with a summer programming slate organized with the help of the organization Black Canadian Hikers and funded with the support of Parks Canada. The centerpiece of this year's programming is a Black-centered Learn to Camp weekend taking place at the Warsaw Caves Conservation Area from July 10th to 12th. I met with Wilson last week to talk about her work and the impetus for this event. Here's some highlights from our interview.
Diverse Nature Collective is a social enterprise that is dedicated to creating space for racialized folks in the environmental sector and the outdoors. So we advocate for more diverse representation in the environmental sector. I do a lot of consulting work with environmental organizations, academic institutions, and folks that are and organizations and groups that are outdoors and like environmentally minded. And I help consult in many ways, building strategies for welcoming diversity, helping create meaningful relationships with equity deserving groups. And then I also curate a lot of workshops, events that are on the land specifically for racialized communities. And they're always low barrier, low cost or no cost events and opportunities to learn and engage on the land.
And what is it that inspired you to get involved in advocating for people of color in the environmental sector?
Yeah, so this has been a long time kind of coming. I started my career in the environmental nonprofit sector. So my background's in conservation biology and ecosystem management. And I was just finding a huge lack of diverse representation within that field and within that sector. I worked for a land trust for many, many years. And it was probably right around the time that the pandemic kind of started internally at the organization I was working at. I was, you know, questioning and challenging, you know, the reasons why that might be, why we might have a lack of diversity, why am I not seeing other folks that look like me, and being very frustrated with the lack of representation. And so I kind of started Diverse Nature Collective out of frustration for seeing these people and people that look like me and knowing that we exist and just wanting to connect with other folks. And it really just started as an Instagram page and a website that my roommate helped me create. And then it just kind of took off. People wanted, really connected with me and my story. They wanted to share their own story. They wanted me to do events and opportunities to connect with other folks in the outdoors. You know, there's a lot of environmental professionals that feel really lonely in predominantly white spaces. And oftentimes we do face a lot of barriers or racism within the workplaces and or even within like just, you know, organized groups, you know, environmental groups and stuff. So a lot of people shared those stories with me as well. And so that's kind of where Diverse Nature Collective started. And now we've kind of grown into this social enterprise business. We give a lot back to the community, and we work and collaborate with a lot of amazing organizations across Ontario and even some folks across Canada as well. I'm doing a lot of collaborations and partnerships to connect people with nature and the outdoors and to make them feel like they're not the only ones out there.
Can you tell me a little bit about your event itinerary this summer? Because it seems to me like you have kind of expanded things somewhat.
Yes, yeah, it's really exciting. So this year is actually the first year where I'm actually doing a weekend event. And it's a camping and paddling event weekend. It's open and free to beginners and folks that are new. It's a Black-centered camping event with the goal and intention of bringing community together to get people getting comfortable with camping. It's completely free and it's as low barrier as we could make it. It'll be at the Warsaw Caves Conservation Area, and it's going to be quite a big event. So I'm doing this event in collaboration with a lot of different folks. Dr. Jacqueline Scott is one of them. She's had done a lot of research on race and nature, and will be using this kind of weekend to collect some research on something that she's working on currently. And she's helped fund this project. I've also received some funding through the Trottier Foundation and the Small Change Fund to be able to make this event happen. We're also collaborating and partnering with Black Canadian Hikers. And we've also connected with our friends at the BIPOC Outdoor Gear Library, who are supplying all of the gear and equipment needed for this event. So it truly is a collaborative effort.
As Patricia mentioned, one of the co-facilitators of the Tracing Our Roots Learn to Camp weekend is academic Dr. Jacqueline Scott. I spoke to Dr. Scott about her research for this story, and I'll let her introduce herself here.
I am Jacqueline Scott, Dr. Jacqueline Scott, and I got my PhD 2 years ago. And I'm a scholar, and a writer, and I also do a whole ton of outdoor recreation, including canoeing. I spend a lot of time doing outdoor recreation, so whether it's camping, canoeing, hiking, skiing, snowshoeing. And most of the time, I was the only Black person in the group. And so when I had my midlife crisis, I went back to school and I wanted to figure out, what was it about outdoor recreation? What was it about being in the wilderness that made it so unattractive to my community? And that is what my PhD was essentially about. It's looking at Black Canadian experiences in typical outdoor recreation activities. And in my case, I looked at camping, hiking, and snowshoeing.
So the reason I'm talking to you is because I was speaking with Patricia Wilson, and she had said, hey, you should talk to Dr. Jacqueline Scott, who is doing like research in one of the Learn to Canoe events. So can you tell me a little bit more about like what your research or your participation there involves?
Okay, so after I finished my PhD at University of Toronto, I got a postdoc at Queen's University. And in that postdoc, I wanted to explore, go canoeing, number one, but also more importantly, to think of canoeing from a Black perspective. Because when we think of canoeing, unless you're on social media, you don't typically see a lot of Black people there. And yet still, Black people have been canoeing for hundreds of years in Canada. When we think of the fur trade, you know, the iconic Canadian, colonial Canadian industry, you traveled all over the country, all up along the rivers and the lakes by canoe. And there were Black people involved in the fur trade. And the most famous of these is the Bongo family. And they were Black and later married into some of the Indigenous families. But they were known for traveling from Montreal all the way up to Sault Ste. Marie, which was the turnaround point for the colonial fur trade. And so they were canoeing that route. And it takes approximately 6 weeks to canoe from Montreal up to Sault Ste. Marie. You would pick up the furs coming in from the north and from the west of Canada. And then you would canoe back home in time before the lakes froze up. And so for me, the canoeing trip was, one, it's fun. It's introducing people who don't get a chance to canoe into canoeing. And it's also, in some ways, honoring that history of the Black presence in canoes in Canada.
And Patricia told me that you want to sort of work your way up to actually retracing that route in its entirety.
That would be a fabulous adventure. And I'm an academic who actually does the stuff that I study. And a huge part of my motivation is the sense that when we think of Canadian history, Black people typically are not centered in that history. And when we think of the myth that we have of the wilderness, you know, we're the land of the great outdoors, the great white north, summer camp. You know, canoeing is a rite of passage in many ways. And it's like, where does the Black Canadians fit into that? What are our experiences in those settings? And also, it's a way to continue the conversation on what does it mean to be Black in Canada on Indigenous land? It's an Indigenous craft, it's Indigenous technology, but we often forget that. And so for me, when I'm able to do that epic canoe trip, it's not just about the Black experience in the canoe and looking at Black history. It's also beginning the conversation, or continuing rather, conversation on what does it mean to be Black on Indigenous land.
How do you think that the Black experience as it relates to the outdoors is changing in Canada?
Couple of things. One, before COVID, in my experience, you saw very few racialized people in nature. And I'm in Toronto, so we have the ravines, like the river valleys in the city. And pre-COVID, you didn't see many racialized people. Post-COVID, you are seeing us in the ravines and more in the National Park, Rouge Park, more in the provincial park, in the conservation areas. So COVID reminded us that humans are part of nature and that we all need nature. And among the racialized communities, that what I'm seeing is that they have continued that link with nature. When I look at social media, that's where the really interesting stuff is happening. And when I think of groups like Diverse Nature Collective, Brown Girl Outdoor World, Color the Trails, BIPOC Gear Library, Black Canadian Hikers, these Let's Hike Teal, Let's Hike Toronto, these are all grassroots groups who are tired of waiting for the mainstream groups to actually notice them. But they're doing things on their own. They are bringing in community. They are showing up in spaces, but they're doing it on their own terms. And to me, that is absolutely fantastic because now when I look at social media, it's like, hey, wait a minute. There are literally scores of Black people doing camping, canoeing, you name it. We are doing it. And seeing these groups, it's like they're doing it. So for me, the old mainstream outdoor recreation is entirely missing the point. And that becomes important because given Canada's shifting demographics, in Toronto, for example, racialized people are actually the majority of the citizens, not the minority. And so my question is always, if we are not showing up in nature spaces because we don't feel welcomed, we don't feel wanted, then who is going to take care of nature?
In wrapping up my conversation with Patricia, she echoed some of the same sentiments as Dr. Scott.
We strive to show that nature is for everyone. I mean, inherently, the outdoors and nature doesn't discriminate. And there is such a huge need for groups like mine, and I'm not the only one that exists, that are creating these affinity spaces to uplift groups of folks that have been historically and currently made to feel like they don't belong in the outdoors, they don't belong in the environmental sector. And so it's really important to do events like this and to bring folks together. And I want people to feel empowered when they go out on the land, and I want them to feel like they belong. That's kind of at the root of everything that I do. And so I really just hope that folks continue to support the awesome work that Diverse Nature Collective is doing and other collaborative partners. And yeah, maybe we'll see you at some of our events.
Dr. Scott, for her part, says she can't wait for the July 10th event.
I am super excited about the canoe trip because camping, weekend camping trip is that quintessential Canadian thing. And in a typical year, I think I've been through all the campsites within a 3-hour drive of Toronto. And so for me, it is really good to be doing those activities with community. And I really appreciate groups like Diverse Nature Collective who are changing the face of the outdoors.
Full details about the Diverse Nature Collective services and events can be found on their website, www.diversenaturecollective.com. For the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Evan Robbins, broadcasting to you through the facilities of Trent Radio, CFFF in Peterborough.